Shut up and sit down.
Hello and welcome back to Fourth Down Focus, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network. I am Dan Lundy, host of the podcast and founder of Fourth Down University, a company focused on the training and development of coaches, kickers, punters, and snappers. Today's show is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The Masters is here. Bet Online has you covered for all the news and scores, including the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Episode 28 of the podcast welcomes Nick McQuarrie, a former kicker at Rice University who is majoring in sports management with a concentration in analytics. Nick grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, where he played football and tennis at Mandarin High School. Nick would eventually join my year-round training program, where he developed a passion for kicking and punting. It has been a pleasure to follow his journey on and off the field. I'm excited to share his story today. How are you doing today, Nick?
I'm doing great, Coach. I appreciate you having me on, and I can't wait to get into it.
You know, I was thinking last night when I talked to you briefly in pre-recording, I'll never forget when you walked up to me at the end of a training session. We used to work out on Sundays together when you were still in high school and before you moved, and you came up to me with this look on your face, like you were going to tell me that you're quitting football or something. Just, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to hear, but I'll never forget when you said, "Hey coach, I'm moving to Massachusetts," you know, and I was so happy for you, you know. Like, I think my biggest concern was that you weren't going to get the support you had down here in Florida. You weren't going to have these guys around you on Sundays that had a common interest and a common goal. But it looks like that you did just fine transitioning. And I want to talk a little bit about adversity today in the show. But before we do that, can you share with us your recruiting experience? Perhaps the interest you received, what you look for in a school when you were narrowing them down, hopefully to like 5 or 10 by your senior year, things you would have done differently, and what you wish you knew now, what you didn't know then.
Yeah, so like you said, the move from Florida to Massachusetts was huge for me. I was an AP scholar in Jacksonville. You know, I was doing really well. Obviously, the sports culture in Florida is much different than that in Massachusetts. And, you know, being with you and your team, I mean, I think that was the biggest thing that ever did for me. And I feel like after I left you, I wasn't getting better at the rate I wanted to anymore. And it was tough to see, but I mean, I'm definitely grateful for the opportunities I was provided. So I guess I'll kind of jump into the recruiting process. When I was a sophomore in high school, I had a big leg, and it was pretty clear to see when you first saw me. And I was back in high school, and I was just, you know, I was doing my touchbacks and stuff, and it was a great time. And then spring came around that year, and I was one of the kids getting looked at by the college coaches coming through town. And it was cool. I thought I was the king of the world, and I thought it was I was just stoked for it. Then, like you said, I had to move to Massachusetts, and that was, it was a whole different world up there. The high school sports world is just, it's just completely different. And so I was the only athlete being recruited at my school, especially for a big sport such as football, man, it's hard to talk to coaches when you're just making a visit to go see a kicker, because, you know, obviously kicker is important. And, you know, in the Northeast, there's not much reason for coaches to come visit, but I'm glad I was able to get my name out. I know you, and I just tried to talk to as many coaches as possible to just say, "Hey, get my name in the door here." And when I was looking at schools, I mean, since I was a young age, I had always wanted to go to Harvard. Like, that was a dream. We talked about that. And I remember you talking about that at Fort Down University all the time back in the day. And it's crazy. And you were right. Like, you were talking about how I wanted to go to Harvard, and you were telling everyone. I was like, wow. Yeah. I mean, this guy's holding me accountable for it. So I looked at a few different schools. I saw some Ivies. At that point, I was kind of tired of living in the North, and I wanted to come back down South. So I found a great place in Houston at Rice, and I'm absolutely loving it there.
Yeah. No, I don't even know where to start with that, but I guess I'll start here is why I like people like you and why I've had more success with people like you than others. What stands out to me is with specialists that have the aspirations to play college football, it's the ones that can think critically. It's the ones that do the small things very, very well. They don't have to do it the same exact way, but it gets done, and it gets done at a standard that's what's needed to be successful and to be trusted and to be held accountable for. All these things are important. I love, love, love what you did in the classroom. You were an exceptional student. You were 90+ percentile on the ACT. And to me, and we talked about it before the show, that is something that college coaches look for mostly in like your quarterbacks and your punters and your kickers, because these are places where you need to be cerebral under the most adverse of circumstances. And you must be able to recover from the adversity because you're going to fail in a public setting. So I could go on about you and why I know you're going to be successful in anything you do in life, because I've done this long enough. It's my 19th year doing it. And I seek people like you who are able to think critically on and off the football field, because I think it directly relates to success on a football field, which is what I happen to do for a living. But I'm a firm believer that you're going to go wherever you want to in life because of the things that you did prior to football, and which is learn how to learn and be receptive to learning and be adaptable. So I want to talk about that a little bit. At Fourth Down U, we do promote the critical thinking, and we promote it through self-analysis. We encourage our athletes, even 15 years old, to obviously look at the people that are doing it better than you, look at your peers, take instruction. Bring all these things together, synthesize it, apply it, and see what works. When there's disconnects, yes, you communicate to your coach. You communicate to your peer in your small group setting. So in college and on Sundays, the coaching staff will not be providing specialists with any technical corrections or adjustments for that matter. Can you share with the listeners your experience with this and how it helped you to have a plan in place both in high school and in a college football setting?
So yeah, the best coaching I ever got was when I was a junior in high school, when I was working with you guys. And then after that, it was kind of thrown into the fire. I had coaches here and there that would help me with little things. But I mean, kicking, it's such a niche sport. And sadly, there's really not a lot of things you can do. Cause I mean, college, there's no reason for a college coach to hire a kicking coach. We actually have one at Rice now who's a former kicker, which is really helpful to have in the room. But other than that, I mean, it's kind of like you just kind of made to succeed. Like you either make it or you don't. And it's very trial by fire. It's exciting. It's nerve wracking. And I mean, I didn't quite have what it takes, but I'm super grateful for getting the chance, because I've always wanted to play college football, but just didn't quite get it there.
I think you'll find that experience is going to be invaluable to you. You learn, you were amongst other kids that were leaders and these college coaches, the FBS level. I'm not saying anything bad about anything less like Division II and III, but at the FBS level, it's where everyone wants to be. And everyone realizes that. So when you are a part of something like that and around a bunch of special people who are unique and kind of going above and beyond in every call, you know, those are going to be part of your network for the rest of your life. So I'm proud of you for that. And Rice is, for those that don't know, is a very, very, very good school. I've been able to coach. Chris Boswell came out of there and I got to work with Chris a lot, but there's just, there's something special about that place. They make good humans, not just good football players. I want to talk about, my 19 years doing this, I mentioned briefly about intelligence, you know, and how I find that intelligence is essential. And I'm talking about kicking, punting, and snapping, but I think that football is becoming smarter as we progress, as we get further along, just like everything else, you know, things evolve for the better, hopefully. By definition, I was curious to see what Webster's would say intelligence is, because I knew what I thought it was, but it actually kind of validated what I'm trying to say here, is that intelligence is the ability to acquire, and not only acquire the information, but to apply it, right? Acquire it and apply it. So in hopes you will come out with a better skill. That's what Webster said. So as a coach, I need to know that my athletes will not only take in the information, because I know they're receiving it, they have to be hearing it. But what I'm realizing is very few apply. Very few will actually take it in and make it personal to their personal problem and then go apply. And then hopefully they fail. And that's where, again, I interject. I think it's why, again, like I mentioned, college coaches value good students because they know that like people like Nick McQuarrie, who was a high performing student and took school very seriously, it's just proof that they can be coached. So I love it. And I want you to talk about a little bit about why you think your rigorous academic background helped you in athletics.
Honestly, I would almost argue it was the other way around. I would say the lessons I learned from football and the lessons I learned from life with football, they helped me in academics more than academics ever helped me in football. But I mean, the two certainly go hand in hand when you see how much on a daily basis you're dealing with. And being a football player is so much more than just getting out on the field and kicking balls. Like it's so much more than that. Like even as a guy who didn't play in college, I had a huge impact on my team just by being around and being that positive guy and being that guy who, you know, studies hard, you know, is a good glue guy for the team. Fun to be around. Just there's a lot of contributions that, you know, just being a good person and having like that academic rigor, it kind of helps put things in perspective and helps you realize a lot about, you know, the sports world and what it means to be an athlete.
I love what you said. It's a very unique way to look at it, but it's true. The inverse is football brought the best student out in me. And I think that was probably really discovered on your end in the college setting when like you learn these small little details about being punctual, being first, sitting up front, eye contact, nodding to the presenter, establishing a rapport with the professor. A lot of these things I learned at Miami and I didn't understand when I was 18 or 19, but now I think they are the biggest things because the littlest things are often the biggest in the end.
You're absolutely right.
I think you're learning that. And I think you're, and I talk about this all the time on the show, is people like you at early 20s are much further along because you've been in a structured environment, your whole life. Whereas I think some of your peers, I don't want to like assume, but I will, I'll generalize a little bit. Most kids do not play college sports. Most kids go to college and have a great experience, hopefully academically, but most certainly most take advantage of the social setting too, where bad habits form, where in your mid 20s, when you're taking, I don't know, constructive criticism, hopefully from your employer, I think a guy like you who has been ripped apart by a coach in a public setting and rebounded from that and made adjustments, you're more inclined to be successful in the business sector, whatever it is you do in your family, right? So I love what you said is that football made me a better student. And coming from you, I think that holds weight because you're an exceptional student. So I thank you for that. I just want to share with the audience, I sat on my glasses. I had some nice glasses, name brand. I'm not going to say what they were, but I was at a Easter brunch on Sunday and I threw them on the seat and forgot I'd put them there and sat on them. So I actually tried out our new sponsor, Canaan Sunglasses. It's time to make your outdoor experience better with Canaan. Canaan sunglasses are made of exclusively polarized lenses for optimal clarity. They're made with Japanese optics that make their lenses clearer, lighter, stronger, and Italian handcrafted frames that are impossible to scratch. Use the exclusive code CANANCAST15 at KAENON.com to receive 15% off your first pair. That's KAENONCAST15. Canaan, clearly better. So I see you interned with Blast Motion in California. I believe it was Carlsbad, but it was Cali. I did a little homework on the company last night. Just wanted, curious to see what you're up to. And I found it fascinating and relatable to specialists. We're talking about golf swings and baseball swings when a lot of what I do now, Nick, is I replace the hands with the feet because there's familiarity with people that have seen Tiger Woods swing a golf club. So can you share a little more about Blast Motion and what you're working on with them?
Yeah, so absolutely. This is something I kind of started learning about last year in a theories of high level performance class. And, you know, it's super interesting. I've always heard about the fast twitch muscles and the slow twitch muscles. But honestly, the more it kind of appears to me, it's kind of like there's immediate twitch muscle. There's for that swing, for those swings, for the swing sports. And I don't know what made me realize, but after I was done playing football, I'm starting to pick up golf now. And I have a really natural ability for it because I can just swing the hell out of it. Just like I could my legs. So I'm like, wow, it's just took off in my head. And now I'm just so obsessed about it. So what we do at Blast, I'm just a data intern right now, but the guy that I'm working with, he's our head biomechanist. And so he develops sensors that have, they have a gyro in them. They have two motion sensors and they give so much feedback about the swing speeds, how tired you are, the path of the swing. It's all been really interesting stuff. And I'm so blessed to be able to work with this opportunity because it's definitely something I could see myself working with in the future. And I mean, I think the relation to kicking, it's really a no-brainer. It's the first thing I thought. I was like, wow. Like, you know, a lot of people have told me that I have a fast leg, but you know, there's never been a way to quantify that for me. Like I want to know how fast of a leg I have and how, what that means compared to my peers. And a really good thing about the Blast motion sensor is that it tracks that, and then it also tracks so much more. And as a person who struggles with consistency, it would have been really cool to be able to see, you know, my swing path and what I did on the wrong ones and what my good ones look like.
I can't wait to talk to you off the air. So I have 3 patents in place right now, one for each of the positions with like a tangible product. And we're playing around with the thought of sensors. But essentially what I've proven is that, you know, Newton's third law and some fundamental geometrics is directly relatable to what you knew as a student at Fourth Down U. We're trying to bring in the objectivity. I don't want it to be my opinion anymore. I don't want to say this is the way I coach. I want to say this is physics. This is math. I'm going to respect these things. And what the essential component is, and I think why my players, even at 15 years old, don't get scared away from this line of thinking is I'm trying to find your process, right? I'm trying to identify what your process currently is and take away as many of the outliers or inefficiencies that come through excessive movement, right? So I think that if we can minimize the variables, right, we have an easier math problem. Just like if we minimize a person's variables in his or her process, I think they're going to be more repeatable in the end. And I think that's of the utmost importance, especially for a specialist. So I really can't wait to talk to you a little bit more about the sensors and how to implement some things that I want to incorporate, because I do think there's value. If I was listening to the PGA.com last night, they were evaluating and contrasting Dustin Johnson's clubhead speed to DeChambeau's. And in the last setting where they were both in the same environment and they got sensored up, there was a 26 or 27 mile per hour differential in the two. Dustin's was slower and Dustin's used to be the standard. So it's crazy when you talk about the evolution of things. I think that's a direct or a great example of how quickly things can evolve, because Dustin Johnson's not a dinosaur. He's pretty new to the sport. In terms of being the best. So anyway, I have one more question for you, Nick. The large demographic of our show, they're high school and college specialists or parents of, and a lot of high school coaches that are wanting to learn more about the way people like you think. Would you share some things you believe to be essential in terms of success for a specialist?
It's something you always told me, the only thing constant is change. Always be ready. Because you're, as a kicker, you are an afterthought. That's the way it's going to be. I was looking at schools in January, waiting for National Signing Day to come around, and I wasn't happy with my options. And I'm glad I wasn't happy with my options, because, you know, I got a call from Rice later that February saying, you know, come on. I was very, very happy. But then I, position coach changed twice. They didn't coach me or use me the way I thought they should have. But I mean, you got to be ready for anything that comes at you, because there's so many things just within a program, whether the head coach, the strength coach, it's so many things, especially if you're not going to a place like Alabama that has that, you know, no doubt kind of repeatability and like reputation, which I mean, you know, not a lot of people will, but try to enjoy it. That's honestly one of the biggest things. I think I lost that for a while, and I wasn't enjoying it because it felt like a chore. But if you can enjoy it, that's the biggest thing, because it's just going to make you a better kicker. It's just going to make the day better at the end of the day. It won't feel like a chore.
I love what you said. I think that it's important to hear that. Parents have goals, right, for their kids. And I think oftentimes that even though it may be subconscious, the parent does put a lot of unwanted pressure on a student athlete sometimes. Perhaps the kid wants to play soccer instead, even though he knows full and well that, whatever, you know, I'm not as valuable on a soccer field, I'm not going to get as much scholarship money. But I think if you're not happy and you're playing at a place like Rice or Alabama, somewhere, you know, at the highest of levels on Saturdays, it will bring about a different side of you. You will burn out at some point if it's not a passion of yours. I don't think it's for everyone, and people say that, but what I mean by that is I think you almost have to have a love for it, because there will be a point in which you're just not going to be your best self. And when you're not your best self, it's only a matter of time after that until someone takes your job, you know? Absolutely. So I can't thank you that. And what you made me think of is a quote I heard this week. It says, if you want peace, prepare for war. And I think it's another way of looking at it is like, if you want to be happy in 2 or 3 years from now, prepare that your plan will get shattered into pieces, right? Have a backup plan, and not only a backup plan, but have a few backups after the backup plan. Absolutely. just in case. And so I love it. And I think that you've experienced some of these things, these curveballs in life where you got to move across the country in a critical time in your life, and you handled it well, and I'm proud of you. I want to end with this. I want to thank you first of all for coming on, and I want to ask you to share with the audience, someone on this show or listening to the show may want to reach out to you and just say thanks for sharing your story. Could you share with like your Twitter handle or however you operate on social media?
Yeah, so my Twitter handle is going to be kick_McQuarry, McQuarry. And it's been my handle forever. Always kicker at heart. And one last thing I want to say to your high school guys that are listening, you know, a lot of guys will get discouraged if they're not getting FBS looks and whatnot. But, you know, there's absolutely no shame in going Division III. Me and my friends talk about every day how we wish we had gone Division III and been able to enjoy football and really play the sport and have a great college experience along with it. Because, you know, if you want to make the league, yeah, you probably need to go FBS, but that's, first of all, not necessarily, because there's a lot of guys who have been.
Sure.
And, you know, it's Division III and Division II. I mean, it's definitely respectable ways to go.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that people develop. Jason Myers is a good example. I'm not going to name where he went to school, but it wasn't a very reputable place. It's not a household name, and he's arguably the best in the world now. There's several. Adam Vinatieri, Vander Jack, legends of kicking have come traditionally from lower level, 1AA, 2, even 3 schools. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. So it means a lot to everyone at Fourth Down Focus that you were able to share a little bit about your story. I found it fascinating to catch up with you. Please give us a like, subscribe to the show, share it with a friend. If you have questions related to the podcast, suggestions for future topics and guests, or if you have feedback for the show, you can reach me, Dan Lundy, in several ways. My website is fourthdownu.com. It has endless resources for specialists and coaches of specialists. On social media, my Instagram and Twitter is @4thdownu. That's @4thdownu. And on Facebook and LinkedIn, you can find me @Dan_Lundy, L-U-N-D-Y. Thanks again for joining us at Fourth Down Focus, brought to you by Bet Online. We'll see you again next week with an exciting new guest. I still hope 2021 is treating each of you well. And remember, in all things, give thanks.